Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, Text 16.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sarakya Parshadas. Wait. Sarakya Parshadasevana Sakya Dautya.
Haribo.
Virasananugama Stavana Pranamam Stigdeshu Pandashu Jagat Pranatimcha Vishnur Bhaktim Karoti Nipatis Charanaravindam.
Maharaj Prickett heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna Vishnu, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, night watchman, etc., according to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When he heard this, Maharaj Prickett became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. Lord Krishna is everything to the unalloyed devotees like the Pandavas. The Lord was for them the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, the worshipful deity, the guide, the chariot driver, the friend, the servant, the messenger, and everything they could conceive of. And thus the Lord also reciprocated the feelings of the Pandavas. Maharaj Prickett, as a pure devotee of the Lord, could appreciate the Lord's transcendental reciprocation of feelings of his devotees. And thus he himself also was overwhelmed with the dealings of the Lord. Simply by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. The Lord's dealings with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings, but one who knows them in truth becomes at once eligible to go home back to Godhead. The Pandavas were so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord. And by such unalloyed determination, they could secure the Lord's mercy. Oh, this is too much for me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to move back a little bit. Okay. They can secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired.
Om Gyanati Marandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manogistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the, I explained yesterday that the bulk of the first canto is the history of the Bhagavatam, which means the history of the speakers and hearers. The sages of Naimisharanya, when they heard that Suta Goswami had heard and realized the Srimad Bhagavatam, when someone realizes something, it means he sees it. And that's actually the purpose of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa, to actually understand the truth, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. The Srimad Bhagavatam, it distinguishes the Vastu, or the truth, the reality. So when one actually is realized, he can actually see the truth. So he said that I heard it, but I not only heard it, but I actually realized it. I actually saw that message. I not only saw the message in the books, I not only saw the message in your words, but I actually saw the message in life. I actually realized it. So they were very, very eager, therefore, to hear from Suta Goswami about the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they were very intrigued about its history. They were interested to hear how Vyasadeva became inspired. They were interested to hear how it was that Sukadeva Goswami took the seat of the Vyasasan, although he did not appear externally very saintly. In fact, externally he appeared very unmata jada mukavat. We discussed that, like a fool with no intelligence, very, very mad. And they wanted to hear about Maharaj Prickett. They wanted to hear how he gave up his kingdom. It's so intriguing. One, it was intriguing because he had everything. So why would he give up everything at such a young age? And more than that, he gave it up. Okay, he may have had everything, but he's also detached from everything. So then why did he give it up? We can understand that he gave up all wealth, beautiful wife, kingdom. All right, he was detached. But why did he give it up when there was nothing lacking in his administration? He was doing so much wonderful service for everyone, which will actually be described in these chapters, his administration and his management. So they wanted to hear about his intriguing history, this great personality who is perfect in his birth. He's Parikshit. He had the impression he saw Krishna in the womb of his mother. He was perfect in his activities. He was perfect in his death. So Suta Goswami, in these chapters, he's now up to the point where he's beginning to explain his activities. But before explaining his activities, he explained the renunciation of the Pandavas, beginning with the renunciation of Dhritarashtra. And in one commentary, Sridhar Swami says, why is he explaining about Dhritarashtra quitting home? Because without this pastime, you're not going to hear about Maharaj Prickett. Because without the pastime of Dhritarashtra quitting home, you're not going to get to the pastime of Yudhisthira quitting home. And without the pastime of Yudhisthira quitting home, you're not going to get to the point of Maharaj Prickett being enthroned. So here in this chapter, how Parikshit receives the age of Kali, he begins to describe how he began to rule the world. I think at the very beginning there was an interesting word, Dvija Varya, the best of the Brahmins, Sikshaya. He followed their rules and regulations. He was under their direction. It actually gave three descriptions of him, that he was Mahat Guna. He had so many great qualities, and these were predicted. If you remember, chapter 12 was the birth of Maharaj Prickett. So all his qualities were predicted. And he was Mahabhagava. He was a great devotee, which Prabhupada said is even more important than Mahat Guna. Because if he was a Mahabhagava, then automatically he had all great qualities. And previous also, when they were describing Maharaj Yudhisthira, and Prabhupada made one comment that it actually takes a Mahabhagava to rule the world. Because he has to be so intelligent. He has to be so connected with Krishna because he has to satisfy everyone. He can't have a particular ideology. It doesn't work. A conservative or liberal. But he has to be Krishna conscious in every circumstance. He has to make such intelligent decisions so that everyone is satisfied. So then it began to describe, I'm just at the beginning of the chapter, that Digvijay, Digvijaye. He began to conquer all the directions. But Prabhupada said he was doing this as the king, not for self-aggrandizement, but he was doing this as the king to see that everyone in the kingdom was strictly following eternal religious principles, so that there would be auspiciousness. Chanaka Pandit says, and maybe you know the first Chanaka shloka, that dharma leads to happiness. It's something like dharmasya, sukhasya, something like that. In other words, when you do what's right, it will bring auspiciousness. You're an Ayurvedic doctor. This is the essence of Ayurveda, that disease is a crime against nature. When you do something wrong, there's disease. So that principle carries to everything. When you do what's wrong, it'll lead to dis-ease. It'll lead to inauspiciousness. So therefore, he was Digvijaya. He was going throughout the whole kingdom in all directions to see that people were following eternal religious principles. And then, as this is explained by Sutta Goswami, and very often in the Bhagavatam, when something's explained in the Bhagavatam, then Shonaka Rishi, he's hearing very, very eagerly. He wants to hear so much about Krishna Katha, and he's listening also very, very carefully. And then when he hears that while he was on his way to conquer everything, that he saw a king, a sudra, one was lower than a sudra, disguised as a king, and hurting the legs of a cow and a bull, he heard that the king caught hold of him, and he punished him. And then Shonaka Rishi became very, very surprised. And when he became surprised, he said, why did he simply punish him? Look what he was doing. He was taking the post of an administrator who's supposed to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's not actually qualified, and look what he's doing. And then the king catches him, and he only simply punishes him. Why was he only punishing him and not killing him? So this is a very intriguing thing. There's a lower than a sudra, dressed as a king, and he's punishing striking the bull and the cow, and then the king comes, Maharaj Prickett comes and punishes him. So it's intriguing, but Shonaka Rishi says that please describe these incidents only if they relate to Krishna. Otherwise, we have no interest in them. No interest. And if they're not in relationship to Krishna, such topics are simply a waste of the human form of life. And then Shonaka Rishi, as he often does in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he's just said that these topics waste his life, then he begins to describe the glories of Krishna Katha and why you have to hear Krishna Katha. And basically, it's personal to Sutta Goswami. This is the proper mood of receiving the absolute truth, to be eager. That eagerness is one's devotion, that eagerness to hear. That's our shraddha, that's bhakti. That's bhakti. Bhakti is our attachment for Krishna, and the attachment for Krishna is exhibited by the eagerness to hear about him. So he begins to describe. He wants to hear more, and he actually describes the glories of Krishna Katha in several verses, and we went over those. That if one wants to become deathless, if one actually wants to solve the real problem of life, which is that the soul that is temporary identifies with the body and therefore is threatened with non-existence, that's the ultimate problem, the ultimate fear, that you're threatened with non-existence due to ignorance. He said if you want to get freedom from this, you have to call Yamaraj, who comes when there's glorification of the Supreme Lord. And the sages of Namasharanya, and one should take advantage of this, and one should not waste his human form of life. Those who are Munda Pragyasya, whose intelligence is slow, they don't do this. They don't glorify the Supreme Lord. They don't take advantage of hearing the deathless nectar in the form of the narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. They don't take advantage of you speaking Sutta Goswami and speaking Krishna Katha, which is deathless nectar, which can free one. Shonaka Rishi, I described yesterday, he quoted a similar verse in the later on. In the same way, he was fearful that Sutta Goswami had ended his narration. He said, Ayai harati vaipumsai unyan anyan. The life of every man decreases except that person who is engaged in Krishna Katha and awakening his desire to serve Krishna. And those who are Munda Pragyasya, who don't utilize this life for self-realization, they waste their life, karma be, simply in fruitive activities. And when they're not engaged in fruitive activities, nidraya, they're sleeping. And therefore, Sutta Goswami, being encouraged, he began to describe this Digvijaya, this Maharaj Prickett going on the kingdom. And then Anatti Priyam, it was not very palatable because he heard that actually there were irreligious activities in the kingdom. He was not very, very happy that there was illicit sex. He was not very happy that there was intoxication. He was not very happy that he heard there was meat eating, slaughter of the animals, or even a tinge of this. Obviously, it wasn't very much. And his kingdom, one of the reasons why the sages of Namisharanya were so surprised, they wanted to hear why he gave up, because he could have counteracted this curse, why he gave up the administration. It's because there was nothing lacking in the kingdom. There was no problem in his administration at all. And therefore, when there was something slightly wrong, then Anatti Priyam, it's not very palatable. The symptoms of Kali Yuga were unheard of in the presence of Krishna and the presence of his representative, the king. But same time, he was enthusiastic as a Kshatriya to have some battle. So it described how he was going around and he was conquering, and then when he would conquer and he would come to different places, they would glorify his ancestors. But again, they're glorifying his ancestors because Mahatmanam, they were great devotees. Otherwise, he had no interest. And then they were describing Krishna's glories. But how were they describing Krishna's glories? They were describing Krishna's glories in terms of his protection to the devotee, in terms of his reciprocation of the devotee's dependence and love. I was describing before, this is in the prayers of Queen Kunti, the way the conditioned soul experiences devotion and love for Krishna, a way that his devotion and love for Krishna increases, is that it becomes dependent on Krishna, which is his constitutional position. And when he's dependent on Krishna, then Krishna naturally reciprocates, just like when the child gets so much affection and love from the mother because the child is dependent. The child isn't, without the mother, the child has no nourishment, no protection. So the devotee is in that mood. He realizes that his nourishment, his protection, his wealth, everything is dependent on Krishna. In fact, the same theme was in the previous chapter, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was waiting for Arjuna to come back from Dwarka, and when Arjuna came back, Arjuna began to describe all the success that he had. But what was his mood? His mood was that these success and these qualities, it's by Krishna's mercy. They're Krishna's vibhutis, they're Krishna's opulences. And therefore Krishna can give them or withdraw them. And Prabhupada described in the purport that they were withdrawn because they weren't needed for self-realization. His power and his opulence, They were given for Krishna's mission. Now Krishna had left the planet, his mission was gone, so Krishna also withdrew the qualities. So this is the mood of the devotee. And therefore, when they were glorifying his ancestors and then they were glorifying Krishna, they were glorifying Krishna's protection of the devotees. And in the verse that we'll begin with today, he began to hear of how Krishna is so wonderful that he reciprocates the dependence and love of his devotees. When one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates because Krishna is a person. Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. So a person means that he reciprocates relationships. If someone's a wonderful person, if you surrender or you serve him, then he reciprocates to you. If you have a friend, he's a good friend if you are serving him, and he reciprocates very wonderfully. One of the qualities of Krishna in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is grateful. Krishna reciprocates with, he's grateful for the devotee's service, and the example is given of Draupadi. Krishna said to Draupadi, simply because you chanted my name once, hey Govinda, I am eternally grateful. So this is Krishna's nature. He's the supreme person. So his reciprocation also is supreme. It's supreme. For every step we take towards Krishna, he's taking 100 towards us. What to speak of the pure devotees? They surrender to Krishna completely. They're completely dependent on Krishna, and Krishna's reciprocating. He's serving them. And here, it's one of the qualities of Bhava Bhakti. One of the qualities is sudulabha. It's very difficult to obtain. Why? Because when you have that devotion to Krishna in your heart, that I want to serve you, and you're completely in the mood of giving Krishna pleasure and surrendering to him, then Krishna reciprocates by serving you. And the quality of prema bhakti is Sri Krishna Karshani. Sri Krishna Karshani means that when you have that intense devotion for Krishna, that devotion attracts Krishna, and he becomes bound or controlled by your affection. So Maharaj Prickett, he also heard, wherever he went, about Krishna's causeless mercy, and therefore he became the chariot driver, the messenger, the friend, the night watchman. So he heard about Krishna's personality, how wonderful it is. If the devotees would surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna, and Krishna ignored them, or you gave your whole life to Krishna, and okay, he looked at you once, of course that would be sufficient to the devotees. But they're hearing what a wonderful person Krishna is, how he just completely reciprocates. Just like if you think you had a good friend, you can see what a bad friend is. You help them, you do everything, and in a time of need, he forgets you. Is that attractive? And if you told someone about that person, would you be attracted to that person? You gave your whole life to this movement. You gave your whole life. And then people lose attraction. But if they hear about a movement where, you know, you did a little service, and then when you're in trouble, the welfare was there, and they fed you for a month, and they helped you in every way. Oh, what a wonderful movement. What a personal movement. You become so attracted, or you hear about a person. Or, you know, we see, I wrote a Vyas Puja offering about Prabhupada's mercy, that people served him. And then even they had difficulty. Whatever little service they do, at the end of life, so much mercy is there, and how much that attracts us to Prabhupada. You were there when Upendra left his body in Australia. So how much that increased your devotion for Prabhupada, how much it inspired, because here was a person, he did service for Prabhupada, but then also he went away. But at the end, whatever little service he got everything. And therefore, what do you think about Prabhupada? What a wonderful person. And your devotion, there's so much appreciation, it inspires your devotion. And in fact, in Rasa Shastra, when it talks about the what's called Udipan, the things that light the Dasya Ras, the mood of servitude, is when you see the mercy of the master. And the example was given of Bhishma Dev, that he tried to kill Krishna, and then he saw Krishna at the end of his life coming to him with all the arranging for Yudhisthira to come in this saintly procession, and then him coming before, and Bhishma was thinking, I tried to kill him, but look how much he's coming for me. So when you hear of the reciprocation in relationship of a person, then it increases your affection. So Maharaj Prickett, he became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. He became overwhelmed when he heard about Krishna, how he became the servant, the messenger. Anyway, whatever little service they do, he reciprocated. He was there. Same thing, Arjuna himself was just remembering with all the times that Krishna was there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he was remembering how he got his wife by Krishna's mercy, and he was remembering when Duryodhana sent Durvasa Muni to come to eat after the Draupadi had already eaten so they couldn't feed the people, and how Krishna came, always there. So he hears about this, and Prabhupada said, simply by appreciating the dealing of the Lord with his devotees, one can attain salvation. Can appreciate the Lord's transcendental reciprocation. And I mentioned also yesterday that in Bhagavad Gita, this is the most confidential knowledge. The most confidential knowledge is that Krishna is a person, and therefore he reciprocates the service of his devotees. And this is not a defect in him, but this is part of his transcendental personality. Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dveshastinapriya. Krishna doesn't, he's not partial, but for his devotee, he favors them. Prabhupada said, this is not karma. This is part of the transcendental realm. This is part of his personality. And what to speak of that? Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhat. Even if the devotee does sudaracharo, but if he's a devotee, if somehow his mind is fixed on serving Krishna, sadur eva samanteya. Krishna says he's a sadhu. Kontiya patijanahi name. My devotee will never perish. This is the most confidential knowledge, that Krishna is a person and reciprocates the love of his devotees. And when we hear about Krishna's personality and how he's thinking of his devotees, I was just thinking this whole scene with Bhishma. Krishna was just meditating. This is the mind of God. He's thinking how he can please his devotees. And we hear about it and we appreciate it. So, we'll go on to the next verse now. Tasyaivam vartamanasya purvesham vrittam anvaham Nati dure kalascharyam yada sittan nabodame. Now you may hear from me of what happened while Maharaj Prickett was passing his days, hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in them. So this is, Sutta Goswami is now, he's narrating about Maharaj Prickett, and he said, now you'll see what happened. While returning from his conquests, this is what happened. Dharma padaikena charan vichayan upalabhyagam richati smasru vandanam vivatsam eva mataram. The personality of Godhead, the personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull. He met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned the earth. So it's described here that The earth is Asruvadana, tears are on the face. Vichayam is overcome by a shadow of grief. So she's sad. She's sad, and because it's inauspicious. And again, why there's inauspiciousness? Because, what does it say? Pad A kind of says the principles of religion, they're being diminished. And when the principles of religion are being diminished, when you do wrong, then there's suffering. Just like Vyasadeva, when he was meditating, he was feeling, after he wrote all the Vedas, he was feeling like, I have despondency, and I'm suffering. So what did I do wrong? Because suffering comes from doing something wrong. I can't imagine what I did wrong. I just transcribed all the Vedas. I'm fixed in religious principles. I'm following my guru. What did I do wrong? So this is the same principle that's there, that when there's suffering, there's an indication of something wrong. So the earth is suffering, so it means what's wrong? What the religious principles are not being followed. The bull is the emblem of the moral principle, and the cow is the representative of the earth. When the bull and the cow are in a joyful mood, it is understood that the people of the world are also in a joyful mood. When there is religion, and when there's dharma, then people are in a joyful mood. When you do what's right, then there's auspiciousness, and that even leads to economic development. So real and real wealth is based on the land. So when religious principles are followed, then there's auspiciousness, and we saw that in the kingdom of Mara Judhisthira, the descriptions were there that the milk bags were overflowing and the ground was drenched with milk. So this is Krishna's system. Ultimate economic principle is following Krishna's religious principles and organizing the world with the protection of the cow and the protection of the bull. And then there's auspiciousness and there's happiness. So when they are happy, then automatically there's auspiciousness. The reason is that the bull helps production of grains and the cow delivers milk. The human society therefore maintains these two important animals very carefully so they can wander everywhere in cheerfulness. But at the present moment in this age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuff by a class of men who do not know Brahminical culture. The cow and the bull can be protected for the good of human society simply by spreading of Brahminical culture as the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. When Brahminical culture deteriorates, when there's not when the Shastra is not ruling society, when the proper Brahmins are not guiding, then people become expedient in their economic ways. They see that there's bulls and can't let us slaughter them. Why feed them? And the resultant actions, and then there's symptoms. So this is what was happening. Chaitwaita Maharaj, would you like to make any comment so far? Mahatma Prabhu, please. Something? You can ask a question? Okay, I'll leave room for questions. Certainly. Dharma uvacha kachid badri Nayaman Atmanaste Vichayasi Vayatesham Mukena Alakshaye Babatim Antaradim Ture Bandum Sochati Kanchanambim. Dharma in the form of a bull asks, "Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place?" So these are the symptoms of irreligion, the symptoms of Kali. And Dharma is asking, what is the cause of this inauspiciousness? What is the cause of this sadness? Are these principles not being fulfilled? I thought this one is dure bandhum. Thinking of some relative is always in a distant place. I just thinking how sad it is today that there's no community, there's no family. One time I was just riding out to New Jersey and I got on a bus. When I got on the bus, I like to get on first because I my nature is I just don't like to plop down next to someone and say, you know, here I am. You know, Hare Krishna, you're riding with a Hare Krishna devote. I like to sit first, let them make the choice. But so there was seats were open, so I went, I said, can I sit here? And the guy was really, he happened to be from my neighborhood in New York. And he said, yeah, sure. You know? And then when he looked at me, and then he just looked at me and he started speaking Bhagavatam in a roundabout way, but you know, he's saying, he was just saying that they had some kind of debate. This was years ago, Clinton. He said, and he says that the economy is good. And he went, you know, and then he was explaining how, you know, he said, when I was young, my father was just a truck driver. We had more than enough. Now I'm working, and now my wife is working. And then he began to describe the name. You used to be able to go to your community store, you know, and talk to the person who's the hardware dealer, and he'd find what you want. You know, now it's Home Depot and you gotta go, it's so impersonal. And there's violence and I had to leave my neighborhood. And then he said, this is funny, then he said, and you know, my kids, he said, they're out in California. You know, and he lost his house, he had to move out from the neighborhood, now he's renting an apartment. And then I said to him, I said, well, why did your kids go out to California? He said, for the same reason you left. Same reason you left your parents. So I was actually feeling so sad that this was, you know, you don't even get the joy materially of having your family around. The nature of Kali Yuga. What?
I was on the plane, I was sitting next to a little boy, you know, unaccompanied minor.
Yeah.
Where are you going? This is my father. And he lives with his mother in Tallahassee or something. And then there's his father in Houston.
Yeah, real pleasure is affection. Even if you want material pleasure, it's not just sensual stimulation. It's like, you know, a mother's love and a friend, you know, and you can see. I mean, the Indian culture was such as that you were in the family and you had like six or seven mothers, you know, six or seven fathers, you know, 100 brothers, whether they're cousins or whatever. And just a family of a family. You grow up secure. You grow up secure. And because you grow up secure, then you can be trained and disciplined without projecting on authority in a negative way. And that was the Vedic system. Therefore, we know in the West, people are neurotic or all neurotic. So insecure. I have lost my three legs and now am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat-eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for living beings because of their suffering due to famine and drought? So another thing that's happening here is that see, Maharaj Prickett, the question was asked, how could you leave when your administration was, you know, the shelter of everyone? And the answer actually will come is that the more important service would be to die and the Bhagavatam manifests. And the question that was answered initially that inspired everything is that when Krishna left the planet, where will knowledge and religion be maintained? It's the Bhagavatam. So what we're having now is when the Pandavas retire, they retire because Krishna disappeared. So the Krishna will reappear in the form of the Bhagavatam. So what happens here now in the Bhagavatam, we see the condition of the world in the absence of Krishna, which also means in the absence of Krishna Katha, the absence of the Bhagavatam, the absence of Krishna's message. And that was asked to Maharaj Yudhisthira also, that in the absence of Krishna, then then the influence of Kali spread and all bad qualities happen. It described Pure in the government, Rashtra in the state, Grihe in the house, Atmani in the self. So in the absence of Krishna, which throughout the Bhagavatam means the absence of Krishna means the absence also of his message, the absence of Krishna Katha, just like Arjuna, the same hint was given in the last chapter. When Arjuna was feeling this separation from Krishna, and he began to remember how all his opulences came from Krishna, then his separation was immediately mitigated by the remembrance of Krishna. So this theme has actually been going on. Yudhisthira was waiting, he was seeing bad omens, he was seeing people greedy, and he understood that Krishna has gone, because in the absence of Krishna, these things come. So this is also kind of, what is it called, foreshadow, foretelling? This is foretelling the appearance of Bhagavatam, because it's being shown what will happen in the absence of the Bhagavatam, in the absence of Krishna, because Krishna, again, he came, yada yada hi dharmasya. When there's discrepancy of religion, he came, so he gave dharma. And when he left, dharma also went. And how does dharma come back? In the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're actually seeing here Kali manifesting in the absence of Krishna. And also, what's here, Bhurijan, when he was speaking about these verses, he made an interesting point also, is that these verses actually don't speak so much about Krishna. But what happens in the Bhagavatam, and I see this also, is that there are certain things you need to have for Krishna consciousness, and they're interspersed in there. One is good management and administration. And that's what's going to be shown here. That if a society wants to be Krishna conscious, you have to have good leaders. And in the absence of good leaders, then irreligion enters. The previous chapter also, when Dhritarashtra quits home, and also when the Pandavas retire, there's these sections on renunciation. Because to achieve Krishna consciousness, you have to be renounced from the material world. The verse was given by Sutta Goswami explaining how to realize tattva. He explained what tattva is. Vedanta tattva vidas tattva yajganam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. This is tattva. And before that he explained jivasya tattva jigyasya. And this is what you're supposed to do, realize tattva. How do you realize tattva? Tatshradayana munayo. Very seriously inquisitive sage. You have to be very seriously inquisitive. Jnana vairagya yuktiya. And you have to be equipped. It's not the process, but you have to be equipped with vairagya. Jnana vairagya yuktiya. You have to be equipped with that. Bhurijan also made a nice comment. He said, without knowledge, you don't know what to do. Without detachment, you can't do it. So you have to have some knowledge and detachment. Pashyantyatmani chakmani bhakta shrita grihitaya. And you have to hear how to practice devotional service, Krishna consciousness, from the scriptures. This is the process of realizing tattva. You have to hear. So this detachment, you must hear a little bit about detachment, like in Bhagavad Gita, the middle six chapters of bhakti, but after that, last six, ajnana, jnana yoga. Because you may know that we have to serve Krishna, but you also have to know a little bit how to be detached from the material world. Otherwise, you won't be able to serve Krishna with purity. So that's also there. So here a little bit, the management is being explained. And now the cow is explaining. It lost his three legs, which means that religious principles are diminished. And Prabhupada actually, in the purport, explains very interestingly why. He says that people can be listed according to faith. The Brahmin has the most faith. Kshatriya the next, Vaishya Sudra. And actually, this is a way to determine Vanashram also. Because a Brahmin has complete faith. And you can see that a Brahmin, he just depends on Krishna. If you're not a Brahmin, even if you're a devotee, if you're not fully Krishna, if you're not a Brahmin, then if you're a Kshatriya, then you have to have a kingdom. Either you have to be a temple president, if you're not, you have to go out and control something. You know, you don't have enough faith. And a Vaishya, he has to cheat a little bit. Otherwise, he's not secure. And a Sudra, he has to have a master. So Varnashram is listed according to faith. And Prabhupada, he discusses this in the purport. The first class faithful men are the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. Then the Kshatriyas, then the Vaishyas, then the Sudras, then the Malechas, then the Yavanas, and at last the Chandalas. The Chandala state is the last word in human degradation, and this is Kali Yuga. It's converted to hell for the animals because the Chandalas are in the positions of rulers. And this is what, this is the symptom of Kali, and this is the symptom of what they saw. And now he's seeing it here. I've lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Look at the earth. No dharma, no religious principles. And because no religious principles, then low-class men are ruling. And what are they doing? They're slaughtering the animals. And because they're slaughtering the animals, the earth is just a grieving because there's no auspiciousness. There's no auspiciousness. I think I was riding back with Jai Advaita Maharaj from Lohi Bazaar, and we saw a little Brij Basi kids, you know, in the Bungie colony. They were so happy. You know, so you can see the inauspiciousness. And then he said, are you in great anxiety because henceforth the unlawful meat-eaters will exploit you? And Prabhupada explains, not all meat-eaters are lecherous. Some follow religious injunctions and take meat in a religious way. So even unreligious opening up of slaughterhouses, and then are you a grieving because there's no sacrifice being performed? And Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita 3.14 to 3.16. Does that begin, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyarana Sambhava? Does anyone know? 3.14 to 16. I think it's those verses. What? Is that 3.14? Let's see. But so there's no sacrifice. And it's mentioned here, Suradin Ritagyagya Bhagan, that they're not getting their share, the demigods. And Prabhupada explains this in the purport. What happens when the demigods don't get their share? The material world is a sort of a prison house, and as we have several times mentioned, the demigods are the servants of the Lord who see to the proper upkeep of the prison house. The demigods want to see that rebel living beings who want to survive faithlessly are gradually turned towards the supreme power of the Lord. Therefore, the system of offering sacrifices rent. They're running the government, they're running the material world for the benefit of the Lord's purpose. So they want people to advance. So they'll give them their share if they turn towards them and sacrifice, which is the basic principle of spirituality, that you're not the controller, but you're meant to give. So without that sacrifice, there's no prosperity. The prophet also describes how everything depends on rain. The rain depends on the sun god. Without the rain, the grains are not there, and there's no vitality. So people's vitality is there. So this is what they're seeing. And then he'll go on and on with those symptoms. Shatubhandam, the previous verse says, so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali, and have they put all state affairs into disorder. The Shatabandhu refers to so-called administrators or persons promoted to the post of administrator without proper training by culture and tradition. Therefore, the state is in disorder. So many different symptoms of Kali Yuga are given. Vacham Devim Brahmakule Kukarmani. Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning is being handled by Brahmins addicted to acts against the principle of religion? Prabhupada said Brahmins are traditionally intelligent and they're able to pick up modern education to top rank, but as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they shall be the most fallen. Education and bad character go ill together. In the very beginning, Sutta Goswami. He was free from vice. Why? If you're on the bodily platform, how can you have knowledge? Because the bodily platform is the illusion of the material world. When you want to be the enjoyer, you have to be an illusion because you can't have it by your constitution. Therefore, you identify with the body. So one is engaged in sinful activity, nourishing the concept that I am the body. What knowledge could he have? So the Brahmins, they have some intelligence, but this is what's happening. So he's describing all the symptoms. Anyway, you have some questions?
Hey, in regards to the four lines.
Yeah.
Is that it? We understand faith as a product of advancement in spiritual life. So is that more of a material analysis? If one is a Vaishnava, one is a advanced Vaishnava, whatever the occupation may be, then his faith would be proportional to his spiritual advancement. So is this analysis on the material platform that one who is Kshatriya, in other words, why would a Kshatriya who wants to control, why would that definitely necessarily reflect his lack of faith if he is similar,
I mean, if he's a Vaishnava.
Yeah.
If a Vaishnava and Brahmins, if they're real Vaishnavas, then they have full faith. So, but it's still not material platform, too, because there, it's faith in the Supreme Controller. When you have faith in God, what's your faith in God? That he's the maintainer and controller. So if you have that faith, then you can be a Brahmin. You can just do your duty, your activities, and Krishna will maintain you. But if you don't have that faith, and faith also means your knowledge. Knowledge and faith goes together. If you don't have that knowledge and realization, then, you know, you don't really see it so clearly. So to be peaceful, even though you may theoretically have that faith, to be peaceful, you have to take control of something. And then if it's just, you know, practically, you know, very little faith, then you have to get a government job in India. I mean, I can never understand it myself, why, you know, 40 years someone will work for the post office, you know, and he'll get like 800 rupees a month, and he's got it, and he's so happy, and, you know, he wants to get his son a government post, you know. Why? Because, you know, it's secure. He has security. He just has a master. I think it is like that. But a Vaishnava, it doesn't matter what his material inclination is for work, he can have that faith completely and do any particular job. But if he had real faith, he wouldn't have to either. You know, he could also, you know, go to the forest. We're discussing this also. The sannyasi, he's supposed to have complete faith. Because he's just supposed to go to the forest and be and have faith that Krishna will protect him. And I was discussing Kunti how that's supposed to help you develop bhakti. Because what happens is in that, you know, you actually see Krishna is giving me food, Krishna is giving me water, Krishna is my maintainer and protector, and then the devotion develops. And I think it's a symptom of faith is our surrender. And that's why the six qualities of surrender, one is maintenance and protection, because when you surrender to Krishna, and surrendering means to depend on him, just to do what he wants, and understand that by doing what Krishna wants, then maintenance comes, protection comes.
I think the other side of the argument would be that someone would say, well, if one is so much of a Brahmin like that, they really be practical. You have so much faith. You know, like one time when the Prabhupada was ill, then the Prabhupada said, what we'll do? And the Mahatma said, we'll pray. The Prabhupada said, that's already going on, but I'm a practical man, let's say. So that would be the other side of the argument, that one becomes so faithful that one may be for the sake of argument. Well, you're just going to go through the forest, or you're just going to depend on Krishna, you're not using a plan.
But faith means that you depend on Krishna. So you do your duty. So if your spiritual master is sick and you're a Brahmin, then you'll do your duty. Your duty is to take care of him. You don't think that you're going to cure him. You don't think, and the other thing, with that situation too, that you can see from the head and you can see from the heart. So you should, you know, your personal care from him, you know, you'll feel that way, that I'm his protector and I'm his maintainer. But you'll do your duty, and you'll depend on Krishna. I'm trying to remember where else this is discussed. And there's another factor too. I think in Bhagavad Gita it says that there's five factors of action, and one is the endeavor. So you still have a responsibility to endeavor. If you want something to be, to manifest, you're also part of what happens. But in terms of your maintenance as a Brahmin, part of the endeavor is, accept charity, give charity, and there's different things you do. You still have to endeavor. But you have faith that Krishna will do, but you still have to endeavor. So in every case, there's endeavoring. And that endeavor doesn't mean you don't lack faith. You endeavor because you have your duty. Subtle question.
Go a little further.
Yeah.
Propensity.
Yeah.
You say I have a propensity to manage.
Yeah.
Or control situation. Inborn as part of my nature. But can we say that that is minimizing my faith in Krishna because that propensity is there? Or that propensity will become somewhat, I will transcend that propensity when I have more faith? Because, in other words, you can interpret it that way, saying, well, if I become more Krishna conscious, I will transcend that propensity.
You may. You may transcend it if you become more Krishna conscious. It's a fact. You may transcend it.
Can I maintain? Is it a contradiction to have full faith and have that propensity? Same things. Are they mutually exclusive?
Propensity means what? That you have an inclination for a particular type of work?
Some form of chakra propensity.
Well, you can come to a pure platform and still do a particular work like Arjuna. You do what's your duty for Krishna. I don't think that
in the sense of a it's almost like saying if someone becomes Krishna conscious, those propensities would.
Well, that's why Prabhupada says Vaishnava and Brahmins are at the top. I understand what you mean. There's different vanas. Now, if you become a Vaishnava, what happens? I think there's an inclination for work. And because you have that inclination for work, you'll use it in Krishna's service. And to a certain extent, the inclination to work may be a product of the modes. And to the extent that it's a product of the modes, definitely it will make you less dependent on Krishna. And as you become completely pure, you become free from the modes. And when you become free from the modes, then you are able to just go to the forest and take sannyas. But I think there's a line where you're not completely free from the modes yet. You know, like, and someone may be, for example, a Vaishyan, very, very pious. He may have that propensity to make money. He may be a Marwari, and he becomes a very great Vaishnava, but he still has that propensity for making money. So he'll still do it for Krishna. But he may be elevated in faith, and there may be someone who's a Brahmin who may not have that level of faith. That may be his inclination for work, but he may be less of a devotee. And he may even be more under the modes than that particular person. Then his faith is less, but he'll work in that way. So I think there's a question of inclination for work that has to do with the modes. But when you become a Vaishnava, you're gradually beginning to transcend them. But you may have an inclination of work and still be very pure, but that'll be your inclination for work. And it'll also become your duty because you already know how to do it. So you'll do it for Krishna.
Well, because sometimes you see people who have an inclination to make money.
Yeah.
And no inclination to spend it. It's totally subconscious. They don't even, they just like money, but they don't like living and spending it. It's like a malaria. I don't know how to say malaria, but certain people like it.
Well, they have that nature. They like to make money.
Yeah, I was just thinking, not necessarily that they lack faith in Krishna. It's just they like to make money. And that's an effective living strategy. Or spend it. Or... anyway, different combination. Followers.
Basically, we're Vana Sankara. We're mixed. So it's very hard to figure out people in Kali Yuga. You get someone who's so intelligent, but actually he's a sudra. You know, it's kind of mixed in there. So you get people that, with mixed modes. In India, you could see it was much easier. When someone is a particular family, they have a particular nature generally. But I think, you know, that's generally, if the Vanashram is by the modes of nature, then it would also have something to do with faith, ideally. Now, in this particular age, and Vaishnavism may be different. Okay, we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.